जय राधा माधव कुलबिहारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री To the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो होम टेक्स्ट 30 राइट टेक्स्ट 30 ध्रुवः उवाच समाधिना नैक भावेन यत्पदं विदुः सनन्दादय ऊर्ध्व रेतसः मासैरहम् षड्भिः अमुष्य पादयोः छाया उपेत्य अपगतः पृथक्मतिः। ध्रुव उवाच समाधिनानैकभवेन यत्पदम् विदुसनन्दादय ऊर्ध्वरेतसः मासैरहं षड्भिरमुष्य पादयोः छायाम् उपेत्यागतः पृथन्मतिः। We'll change the meter, okay? Samadhinanaika bhavena yatpadam viduh sanandadaya urdhvaretasaha maseraham shadbhiramushya padayoh छायामुपेत्यापगतः पृथन्मतिः। ध्रुव उवाच समाधिनानैकभवेन यत्पदम् विदुः सनन्दादय ऊर्ध्वरेतसः मासैरहं षड्भिरमुष्य पादयोः छायामुपेत्यापगतः पृथन्मतिः। प्लीज चैंट। ध्रुव उवाच समाधिनानैकभवेन यत्पदम् दुःसनन्दादय ऊर्ध्वरेतसः मासैरहं षड्भिरमुष्य पादयोः छायाम् उपेत्यापगतः पृथन्मतिः। ध्रुव उवाच समाधिनानैकभवेन यत्पदम् विदुः सनन्दादय ऊर्ध्वरेतसः मासरहं षड्भिरमुष्य पादयोः छायामुपेत्यापगतः पृथन्मतिः। उवाच समाधिनानैकभवेन यत्पदम् विदुः सनन्दादय ऊर्ध्वरेतसः मासैरहं षड्भिरमुष्य पादयोः छायामुपेत्यापगतः पृथन्मतिः। ध्रुव उवाच समाधिनानैकभवेन यत्पदम् विदुः सनन्दादय ऊर्ध्वरेतसः मासैरहं षड्भिरमुष्य पादयोः छायामुपेत्यापगत पृथन्मति माता जी स्पीस उवाचा समाधिना नैक भवेन यत्पदम् विदो सनन्दादय ऊर्ध्वरेतसः मासैरहं षड्भिरमुष्य पादयोः छायामुपेत्यापगतः पृथन्मतिः ध्रुव उवाच दिनानैक भवेन यत्पदम् विदो सनन्दादय ऊर्ध्वरेतसः मासैरहं षड्भिरमुष्य पाद ध्रुव उवाच ध्रुव महाराज सेड समाधिना बाय प्रैक्टिसिंग योगा इन ट्रांस न नेवर एक भवेन बाय वन बर्थ यत विच पदम पोजिशन विदुहु understood Sananda Adayaha, the four brahmacharis headed by Sanandana, Urdhvaretasaha, infallible celibates, Masaihi, within months, Aham, I, Shadbhihi, six, Amushya, of him, Padayoho, of the lotus feet, Chayam, shelter, Upetya, achieving, Apagataha, fell down, Prithak Matihi, my mind fixed on things other than the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Dhruva Maharaj thought to himself, to endeavor to be situated in the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord is not an ordinary task, because even the great brahmacharis headed by Sanandana, who practiced Ashtanga Yoga in trance, attained the shelter of the Lord's feet only after many, many births. Within 6 months, I achieved the same result. Yet, due to my thinking differently from the Lord, I fell down from my position. Purport. In this verse, Dhruva Maharaj himself explains the cause of his moroseness. First, he laments that to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly is not easy. Even great saintly persons like the four celebrated brahmacharis headed by Sanandan, Sanak, Sanatan and Sanat Kumar practiced the yoga system for many, many births and remained in trance before getting the opportunity to see the Supreme Lord face to face. As far as Dhruva Maharaj was concerned, he saw the Supreme Lord personally after only 6 months of practice in devotional service. He expected, therefore, that as soon as he met the Lord would take him to his abode immediately, without waiting. Dhruva Maharaj could understand very clearly that the Lord had offered him the rule of the world for 36,000 years, because in the beginning he was under the spell of the material energy and wanted to take revenge against his stepmother and rule over his father's kingdom. Dhruva Maharaj greatly lamented his propensity for ruling the material world and his revengeful attitude towards other living entities. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesh Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Premapumartho Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradarahana Paraha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this is a most extraordinary event that has taken place. The Supreme Lord has appeared before a five-year-old boy in response to the austerities committed by this young boy only for 6 months. Dhruva Maharaj, having had darshan of the Lord, was relieved of all his material desires, the fulfillment of which he desired in the first place when he came to practice austerities. And now he is lamenting. He is thinking within his heart that even great sages like the four Kumaras, they were able to achieve the lotus feet of the Lord after many, many births, it's something that is so difficult and so rare to achieve. But I'm so fortunate that by the Lord's grace, I achieved the lotus feet of the Lord, or rather I achieved this shelter only in 6 months' time. I received the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord, but not completely. And therefore he has become morose. What is the reason, or what are the reasons for the moroseness that Dhruva Maharaj feels in the execution of his devotional service? First and foremost, he regrets the fact that he approached the Lord with material desires. And what a material desire it was. It wasn't any ordinary material desire. When we approach, an ordinary person approaches the Supreme Lord for some material desire, he may want some money or a little power or a little prestige and name and fame or some enjoyment or something of the sort. Dhruva Maharaj, of course, wanted that, but in such a degree that we can't imagine. He wanted a kingdom that was greater than the kingdom even of his great-grandfather, Brahma. Now, who can ask for such a thing? When people come in front of the Lord, they never ask for such a thing. They may even ask for elevation to the heavenly planets. But nobody says, I want a kingdom greater than the kingdom of Brahma. And he was serious about it, so serious that he performed austerities for 6 months in the forest. He gave up food, he gave up water, he gave up even breathing. So serious was his determination to ask for something like this. And at the end of it, when the Lord appeared before him, then all these material desires vanished. That is the kindness and the mercy of the Lord, that whoever approaches the Supreme Lord is blessed by being relieved of those material desires. So the Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya describes a prayer of Dhruva Maharaj. Sthanabhilashi tapasisthitoham Tvam praptavandeva munindra guhyam Kacham vichinvan apidivyaratnam Swamin kritarthosmi varam nayache. Dhruva Maharaj prays at the time when the Lord appears in front of him. He says, my dear Lord, I performed severe austerities. I situated myself in performing severe austerities, tapasi sthitoham, for the sake of a very high position within this material world, sthanabhilashi. And then, as a result of this, I obtained you, tvam praptavan. I obtained you who are most difficult to obtain, even for great sages and demigods. Deva munindra guhyam. So I achieved that which was impossible practically even for great sages to achieve. And that's also something that Dhruva Maharaj is saying here in this verse, that the four Kumaras could get it after a long time, and I got it only after 6 months. And then he says, kacham vichinvan api divyaratnam. I am now ashamed that I asked you for broken pieces of glass, and you are so kind upon me that you have given me a priceless jewel, a priceless diamond. Therefore, Swamin, O my dear Lord, kritartha asmi, I am completely satisfied. Varam na yache, I do not want any benedictions from you. The fact that you have appeared in front of me is blessing enough for me. So Dhruva Maharaj was feeling morose and ashamed that he had actually approached the Lord for something as insignificant as the kingdom of a universe. How insignificant then are the material things for which we approach the Lord? So Dhruva Maharaj was feeling really bad within his heart. How petty am I? How foolish was I? Why did I approach the Lord for something so silly, for something like this? And later on, Dhruva Maharaj is going to say that it's like approaching a very, very rich man and asking him only for a few husks or broken husks of grain, when you could have asked for priceless jewels and diamonds. So he's repenting like this, and that is the first reason for his moroseness or his feeling ashamed. So here it is described, Dhruva Maharaj is feeling very morose. So this is the first reason. The second reason also is that even though the Lord appeared before him and he received a kind of spiritual perfection, because after all, seeing the Lord face to face is a spiritual perfection, but even though he received the lotus feet of the Lord, the shelter, he didn't receive it also. Why? Because the Lord gave him the biggest material benediction you can ask for. Kingdom of the whole universe, sovereignty over the whole universe. But he didn't take him back immediately to the spiritual world. He said, I award you 36,000 years of rule on this earth without any competitor, with full youthful senses. You will have no old age. You will have full material enjoyment. And then you will attain to the special planet that even Lord Brahma has no access to, the pole star. Actually, you can see the pole star. If you look in this direction, if you go out and look at the latitude of this place, of Vrindavan, then you will see the pole star there shining. So, Dhruva Maharaj is there. So the Lord gave him this position, and you will stay there on this planet, which is my planet. This planet will not get destroyed when Brahma sleeps at night. So you will remain there. Even when Brahma sleeps, after Brahma's day, you will continue to be there. And when Brahma dies at the end of his life, then you will go back to my Vaikuntha abode. But the Lord actually gave him initially, for so many years, material enjoyment, opulence, and so on. So Dhruva Maharaj is thinking, just because I approached the Lord with all these silly material desires, the Lord did not immediately grant me complete shelter of his lotus feet. And the third reason why Dhruva Maharaj is feeling morose is he's feeling the Lord is so kind upon me that even though I didn't ask for it, he is awarding me residence in his kingdom eventually. He has promised me that I will have access to his kingdom. I didn't ask for it, but this is the Lord's mercy. And just see the qualities of the Lord and just see my qualities. The Lord is willing to give me his kingdom, the spiritual world, but I went and asked him for something material. So like that, in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj, there was this sense of moroseness. So moroseness comes in material life, that is well understood for any devotee. But the point to learn from this discussion here is that we may become morose even in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere in his purports mentions, he says, material attachment and shelter of the lotus feet go ill together. And he says, one who strives for something material or who is attached to something material does so because he is ignorant of the transcendental happiness that is derived from taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. It is only because there is ignorance of the kind of unlimited happiness in Krishna consciousness that somebody doesn't give up all other shelters and all other desires and take shelter completely of Krishna's lotus feet. So material attachment and material desires are indeed an impediment. So Rupa Goswami says also, Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra kim abhyudayo bhavet. He says, so long as these two witches of sense enjoyment and liberation, bhukti and mukti, are there within the heart, how can the happiness of Krishna consciousness actually arise? In other words, even though we may be rendering devotional service to the Supreme Lord, but so long as the material desires remain, so long as the material attachments remain in the heart, that real ecstasy, the real taste, the real happiness of Krishna consciousness will not be attained. This is the important factor. Of course, for Dhruva Maharaj, it wasn't simply his material attachment, there was another factor as well. That was his feeling of enmity or envy towards his stepmother. His stepmother had actually harshly removed him from his place on the lap of his father when he was sitting on the throne. And Dhruva Maharaj, being a Kshatriya, even at the age of 5, he took this insult very, very seriously. Generally, a 5-year-old child doesn't take insults seriously. But he took it so seriously that he went away into the forest to perform austerities for 6 months. So this feeling of envy or enmity was also strong in his heart. And a feeling of revenge, as Prabhupada explains here in the last part of his purport, his revengeful attitude towards living entities. In his feeling of revenge, Dhruva Maharaj did not desire that his stepmother should die or something like that. He just desired, okay, she doesn't want to give me what is my right, so I will show her. So I will get even a bigger kingdom than what she is depriving me of. So it was a kind of trying to show. That's a very common sentiment, isn't it? We want to show others something out of envy or out of feeling of enmity. So Dhruva Maharaj had this feeling. Because she deprived me of this, because she spoke harshly to me, therefore he had this feeling of enmity towards her. One little story comes to mind that is narrated by Sita Devi. Just before the class, I was trying to trace it all over the Ramayana as to where it was, but I couldn't locate it. But anyway, I have read it somewhere in the Ramayana. It is a story that is narrated by Sita Devi. And I think she was telling Hanuman. She was saying, one time, there was a man who was chased by a tiger in the forest. And he ran away in fear and managed to climb a tree and become secure. The tiger couldn't climb the tree. So he was longingly looking at the person, waiting, when will he come down so I can eat him? But the man refused to come down. He remained up there. Now it so happened that this tree belonged to a bear. And the bear was also on one of the branches. And the man told the bear, I have taken shelter of you, so please protect me. So the bear said, all right, no problem, you stay on this branch. Then the tiger came there and saw the whole situation. And then he told the bear, psst, 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 please come here. He said, look, if you push this man down to the ground, then we can both share him. Then we can both eat nicely. And I will also give you many nice things to eat. So please push him down. So the bear said, no, that's against my principles. He has taken shelter of me, so I cannot push him down. So the tiger said, all right. He waited for the bear to fall asleep. Then he went to the other side to the man. He said, psst, psst, come here. He said, look, what you do is, push the bear. So he falls down. And then I will let you go. Then I can eat this bear. When he falls down, I will pounce on him and I can get my food and you will get your freedom. So what did the man do? Push the bear. Yes? Goes to show the difference between humans and animals. Yes? Humans are supposed to be superior. So the man said, all right, if that's what it takes to get freedom, then he pushed the bear. The bear was on one of the higher branches. So the bear woke up as he was falling, and he gathered his wits together and very quickly was able to hang on to a branch. And then he held on to the branch and recovered his position again. He was a little shocked, but he was still composed. Then the tiger came back to the bear on this side and said, psst, psst, look and just see what he did to you. Now at least push him. Now you can push him down. So the tiger was being very political. He's trying to get his things. But the bear stuck to his guns. The bear said, no. One should not perform harm to those who have harmed him. Even though he has tried to harm me, but I should not try to harm him. This is the principle of civilized life. Yes? The bear is giving this lesson. And Sita Devi was explaining in the context that others may have harmed us or done things to us, but we should not harm them in return. This feeling of revenge, this revengeful attitude, will spoil our consciousness. Just as material attachments go ill together with taking shelter of the Lord, so does this revengeful attitude, this feeling of enmity or envy against others. And especially as devotees, if we harbor these ill feelings towards other devotees, we will be cheated of the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So long as there are these wrong feelings, these grudges in the heart, we will not be happy in our devotional service. So we have to give up these inimical feelings, even if there are any, even if the reasons are justified. But at the end of the day, we have to answer to Krishna. We don't have to answer to the person who has harmed us, even if that harming is actually a fact. And anyway, we also understand that if somebody has harmed us, it's nothing more than our karma coming back, and that person is not responsible. So there are different spiritual angles of looking at the whole thing. So we learn this valuable lesson that if one doesn't envy others and one is rendering devotional service, then yes, one will be able to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord very, very easily. Forgiveness is a very important aspect. Letting the past go. Letting bygones be bygones. Everybody will have some things in one's past about which one is unhappy. This one said this to me, that one did this to me, this happened to me, the other thing happened to me. We always have so many grudges in our heart. But it's time to let go. Let go these grudges. It takes effort. It takes spiritual intelligence. But yes, with that spiritual intelligence, it is possible to let go. And the moment we let go, we feel relief. We feel the happiness coming back in our Krishna consciousness. So this is what taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means. That we leave shelters of everything else. We leave shelter of our ego, we leave shelter of our revengeful attitude, we leave shelter of envy, we leave shelter of all other material objects and opulences of this world. That is the purport of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In his teachings to Srila Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that the creeper of devotional service, which sprouts from the seed of bhakti, the bhakti lata bij, it grows and grows when it is watered by regular hearing and chanting of the holy names and the pastimes and glories of the Lord. And eventually it grows and grows and grows. It goes past the higher planets. It goes past the coverings of the universe, goes past the Viraja, the impersonal Brahman, goes past the Vaikuntha planets. Eventually it reaches the Goloka Vrindavan planet, and there it searches out Krishna. It takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, and there, Mahaprabhu says, When the devotional creeper has taken shelter of the shade of the lotus feet of Krishna, then the fruit of that creeper comes. What is that fruit? Krishna Prem. So remember, it takes, the Krishna Prem fruit comes only when we have taken complete shelter, not otherwise. And without the fruit of Krishna Prema coming, the happiness will be restricted. It cannot be full blown. So there are many impediments in the way of our Krishna consciousness. So therefore, when we give up all other shelters and take exclusive shelter within our hearts of the lotus feet of Krishna, then the real happiness of Krishna consciousness comes. King Kulashekhar has sung, and Prabhupada used to chant this bhajan many, many times, Krishna tvadiya padapanka japanjarantam adyaivame vishatumana sarajahansa prana prayana samaye kafavata pittai kantha varodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. King Kulashekhar is praying to Krishna that, my dear Lord, let the swan of my mind enter into the network of lotus stems of your lotus feet right away when I am in good health. Because at the time of death, when the bile, mucus and air gather in the throat, there is tremendous inconvenience, there is tremendous pain. At that troublesome moment, how will I ever be able to remember you? So, in this prayer, King Kulashekhar is praying that somehow or other, one's mind must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada says that there is a very intimate relationship between the swan and the stem of the lotus. In the same way, when the living entity wants to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then he has to become like a swan. A swan in Sanskrit is called Hamsa. And sometimes the great devotees are called Paramahamsas. Those whose hearts are completely freed of all material inebrieties, desires, attachments and so on. The Hamsa is characterized by the ability to discriminate truth from falsehood. Because a swan is said to have the capability of extracting milk from a mixture of milk and water. So similarly, the Paramahamsas have the capacity to extract the essence of all existence, which is Krishna and Krishna's lotus feet, from the entire existence. And then they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So we also have to make this our ambition, our aspiration in life, to become Paramahamsas. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, Lord Kapila teaches his mother about pure devotional service. And then he explains that there are four kinds of devotional service, depending on the category or the situation of the performer of that devotional service. It's not that devotional service is in these categories, it is the performer. He says devotional service is always first class, always pure. But because the performer of devotional service is not, may not be pure, therefore there are these different varieties. He says the first variety of devotional service is devotional service in the mode of ignorance. When the performer of devotional service is violent, angry, envious, proud, then the devotional service that he renders is called devotional service in the mode of ignorance. And Kapila Dev uses the word bhinnadrik. Bhinnadrik or prithak bhavam. He's going to use these phrases. And here also Dhruva Maharaj is using the phrase prithak matihi. Prithak means separate. Bhava means mentality. Bhinnadrik also means the same thing. A separate mentality. So, Kapila Dev says that because the person who is in the mode of ignorance has a separate mentality from that of the Lord, even though he performs devotional service, it's called devotional service in the mode of ignorance. A person who performs devotional service in the mode of passion is one who desires name, fame, opulence, etc. through his devotional service. Here also he uses the word prithak bhavam. Even devotional service in the mode of goodness, Kapiladev says, is prithak bhavam, is done with a separate mentality. Why so? In the mode of goodness, one performs one's prescribed duties according to the Varnashrama system very nicely. But even though one may perform it as well as one can, there are bound to be some faults. So the person in the mode of goodness offers the fruits of that service to Krishna. It's called karmarpanam. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the difference between devotional service in the mode of goodness and devotional service in the pure state is that in devotional service in the mode of goodness, one offers the fruits of one's devotional activities to Krishna. Whereas in pure bhakti, the very activity itself is an offering. One doesn't have to offer the fruits of that bhakti. But the act of chanting, the act of hearing, the act of worship, the very acts themselves are expressions of devotion. So therefore, Kapiladev says that devotional service in the mode of ignorance, passion, and even goodness are actually done by separatists, by those with a separate mentality, or prithak matihi, as Dhruva Maharaj is saying here. Dhruva Maharaj performed devotional service in the mode of passion because he wanted opulence, power, and so on. It was mixed. So then Kapiladev explains that anyone who has even a tinge of separate interest from the Lord, that person's devotional service will be in the three modes, in the mixed modes of material nature. But then Kapiladev explains, there is a fourth kind of devotion. Mat guna shruti matrena. He says, just by hearing about me, if somebody is thinking, he wants to hear mad guna about me, mad guna shruti matrena, mai sarva guhashe, about me who am in the heart of every living entity, mano gatir avichinna yatha gangam bhasom budhau. If by simply hearing about me, that devotee's mind spontaneously runs to my lotus feet just like the Ganga river rushes towards the sea spontaneously despite there being obstructions in the way. Such bhakti is called pure bhakti. He says, lakshanam hi, this lakshanam, this symptom is called nirgunasya udharitaha. It is nirguna bhakti. Ahaituki avyavihita ya bhakti hi purushottame. So this thing, that symptom of nirguna bhakti, or that bhakti which is done without any separate interest or prithag matihi, which is done avyavahita, without any interruption as well, is called real bhakti, nirguna bhakti. So that is our aspiration, and that is really the process of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So the aspiration of a devotee is to attain this state of nirguna bhakti, which is freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature. So Dhruva Maharaj has now attained that state by the mercy of the Lord. But nevertheless, because he approached the Lord with this mentality, he had that desire. So Krishna will fulfill that earlier desire as well. So then the purport is, why to approach the Lord with material desires? Even though one will eventually become purified and become a pure devotee, but still the Lord will also give us facility for fulfilling our material desires before he can accept us completely. So why waste time in this material world? Might as well approach the Lord without any material goals, without any material desires. That is the sum and substance of the message from Dhruva Maharaj's moroseness and lamentation. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll leave some time for questions, if there are any. Yes, is there a mic, please?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a very inspiring class. Maharaj, you talked about impediments in devotional service, in which the Vaishnava Prad and the seventh Nama Prad is considered to be very prominent. So, I was reading the books of Prabhupada mentions that Vaishnava Prad is the worst offense to the holy name, and the seventh offense is the greatest offense. So, what is the difference between the worst offense and the first one being the worst offense and the seventh one being the greatest offense?
Well, if you see the totality of the teachings, then yes, the conclusion works out that offenses against the Vaishnavas are the greatest offense. Because that is called the Hatimata Aparad. It is the one offense that will tear your creeper of devotional service to shreds. Like an elephant walking into a nice garden and then destroying it completely. So, definitely the Vaishnava Prad is the most dangerous. Yeah, somebody else had a question? Yes, yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your nice class. Maharaj, as you explained that envy is the root cause and we should try to remove it from our bhakti. So, in our day-to-day dealings, I mean like Mahatma Gandhi said, if somebody slaps you, then we should act non-violently. But Bhagavad Gita says, if some enemy comes, then violence has to be taken. So, like that, when we feel offended or we feel some hurt, so our action back, how do we know it's out of envy or it's right? And what should we do in such situation?
Well, it depends on what platform we are and what platform we want to be. And also, it depends on the practical situation in the world. Now, obviously, if there's a thief going to storm into your house, you are going to put up some opposition. It's a fact. At the same time, the Vaishnava principle is, if somebody blasphemes us or criticizes us, then we wouldn't respond. But if another Vaishnava or the Supreme Lord is criticized, then we would respond strongly. So when that so-called offense is directed to us, then we should take a humble position. That is the mentality of a Vaishnava. So then there is no question of reacting. Okay? That is the point. Okay, yes. Another, the mic, please.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Actually, I wanted to ask, like you said that we should let go of the grudges. And sometimes we are able to see also that it's wrong. We should not hold that grudge. And actually, as you said, it's due to our own karma only. But still, like that thing keeps on coming after some time. It's like an attack coming on constantly. And we are defeating it by our intelligence, but again it's coming back. And then it's also said that if we are suppressing it, then it might come as an explosion at a later date. So how to reconcile both of those?
Pray desperately to the holy name of the deities to relieve us of all these things, to help us to let go. But devotees don't bear so many grudges. That's why they are so blissful. Therefore, you can see, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, even when they are sleeping, they are blissful. You can see. You can see, if you have seen somebody sleeping in Bhagavatam class, look at the face and you will see they are blissful in their sleep. But when you travel in a train and you see the person across you slumping, you look so grouchy and grumpy. Yes? Well, the devotees, even when they sleep in class, they look so blissful. That means devotees don't bear grudges. That's why they're able to be so happy. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha
Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana Mukta Sangasya Jayate. So the Srimad Bhagavatam says that when one renders bhakti to the Supreme Lord, the symptom is automatically one becomes blissful. Especially there is scientific knowledge of the understanding of the Lord and one becomes freed from all material things. Okay, so thank you very much. Yeah, one last question or comment? Anything?
I always relish your wonderful classes and I thank you for your nice classes. You said that one gets a bliss at the time of getting love of Godhead, means when we see the lotus feet of the Lord. But before that, it's not that easy to obtain, so many impediments and we don't get bliss. And that's why people get attached to the material things, because the bliss does not come simultaneously, so they don't want to be bereft of both sides, material or spiritual. So what is the solution? How you could change the mentality? My comment was that Nirkshir Vivek and the swan, they do it because they have some curdling thing like acidity in their mouth. So when they drink it, that acid curdles the milk and then they take the solid food from the solid portion of the milk and they leave the water behind. That's there. Just that was my comment.
So Shamikrishi Prabhu is a doctor, so yes. Thank you. He's given a very nice scientific explanation of the separation of the water. Thank you. Yeah, how does one try to experience this happiness? Because so long as this happiness doesn't come, we won't be able to give up pursuit of the other happiness of this world. The only process is to take shelter of the holy name and continue to be alert and vigilant in following all the principles of devotional service. Not to be negligent, not to commit offenses, and to be very prayerful while chanting the holy name and to pray for the mercy of the deities, the devotees and the holy name. Then very surely Krishna will give that bliss very fast. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.
Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Hare